Workday Afternoon Replay from Money FM 89.3. Coffee with Clarissa on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon, I'm Clarissa Montero. In the studio with me, a lady that I am looking forward to getting to know very well over the next 15 minutes or so. With over 15 years in the energy industry, she is the first Asian female Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer to execute her job out of Asia. With her valuable experience in the field, Lynn strives to increase the representation of women and minority groups in an industry commonly viewed as a man's world. Now, she works for a great company because they're enlightened. It's their commitment to develop Asian and female talent which puts her here in front of me today. We have this female high achiever from Shell to enlighten us on what she does. So here to tell us all about what she does and what diversity and inclusion truly means at Shell, Miss Lynn Lee, Vice President. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Clarissa. Thanks for having me.
It is absolutely my pleasure. So let's get right into it. Diversity and inclusion, it does tend to suggest that the company wants to make sure that there are enough women in the company, that there are enough minorities in the company. Am I right to say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely right. Yeah. So as you say, one of our priorities is gender. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so more females in senior roles. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only thing that we do in Shell. Yeah, so we have other priorities around ensuring inclusive workplace and making sure that in the same way that we take care of safety, mm-hmm. we want to ensure that our staff, our employees, feel that they are psychologically safe.
Okay.
Yeah, and for us, that's very important, the diversity of the workplace, but also the inclusiveness of it.
Okay. And that's actually quite a challenge in what is perceived, and fairly so, let's face it, as a man's industry,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the longest time. And I talked about this with you before the microphones came on. I grew up in the petrochem industry as the child of a male executive who worked within the industry. There weren't a lot of women. He didn't work with a lot of women other than secretaries and the secretarial pool, the clerical pool. Very, very few women had roles within companies like this. Back then, now fast forward maybe 30, 40 years, that's not so much the case, mm-hmm. or is it?
Well, I think it's a perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the past, yeah, the energy company had more men mm-hmm. because of the environment they have to work in.
Right.
Yeah, so it's dirty, it's in refineries, you know, it's big machineries, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But today is different. Yeah, we have technology, mm-hmm. and a lot of things can be done by men as well as by women.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's not so much your strength or how big you are, you know, but in terms of the talent, yeah, and also your ideas that you bring to the company.
So, what made you pursue a career in energy?
Well, that was actually a happy coincidence. I've always been in consulting, so that was my early career mm-hmm. in consulting. And I've always wanted to do that because it gave me a broad perspective into different companies that I work with. But Shell was one of my clients, and I was looking for something different after I had my second child.
Sure.
I felt I needed more time at home,
mm-hmm.
and I needed a better work-life balance. I was in consulting, you know, so every year your targets grew. You had to bring in more money, and I just
more
felt
money,
I didn't want to do
clients,
that. Exactly.
Longer hours at the office.
Correct. So I wanted something different. Yeah, and there was an opportunity at Shell. I thought about it and I thought, well, I want a better work-life balance. So I joined, but then I realized it was a different type of balance. Yeah, not exactly what I was looking for, but it was a happy coincidence.
Okay, and you've been there for quite a while.
Yes.
So clearly the happy coincidence is also a fulfilling place for you to be.
Definitely.
All right. As a female leader in this industry, what do you think some of the challenges have been for you? Especially now in your diversity and inclusion role, you will probably see the challenges other women face as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think my own experience, and I can't imagine having to live through it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was just reflecting before Shell. So I was subject to comments like, we don't want you as the consultant because you don't look good. with your maternity clothes.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it. At that point in time, when the feedback was given to me, I thought, okay, that's fair. Right? I was young and I thought, okay, that's how it is, right?
Yeah,
in consulting.
Sure, whatever,
yeah, but now when I think about it, I'll go like, no way. You can't say that.
Who said that?
Exactly. It's not acceptable. Right? My early days in Shell as well, I've also heard some comments. It's not common, yeah, but you experience still what we call micro inequities. So I was told by a colleague that, you know, this whole deal around female Asian talent is just overrated. Yeah, and it makes you stop to think, why would someone say something like that? Yeah, so I think it's because of experience like this. And also then, you know, for every bad experience that I had, I also then, you know, had colleagues, peers, leaders who were there for me as support.
Sure.
Yeah, so I think in my journey and in this role that I have right now, I can make a difference. Yeah, and the company can make a difference because part of our job in D&I is to ensure that we create a support system because you're never going to totally eliminate micro inequities and sometimes, you know, discrimination. But what do you do about that? You create a support system that's strong. You create more senior female leaders who can be role models and you lift up the person who then experience things like this.
Ah, but you see, you're lucky because you work within a company that wants to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There are many companies that are quite happy to be their boys' club.
Yes.
And have no interest in changing that, or micro inequities, as you call them. They laugh them off in, you know, when they go off and have their cigars and their single malt whiskies.
Mm-hmm.
And there still exist companies like that and industries like that. So you're lucky because you work for a fairly licensed company that wants to make that change, wants to bring in that inclusion.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
So I think, again, if we just turn the clock back, even just 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I think, again, you have companies who can still live with that,
mm-hmm.
who have the men, you know, smoke their cigars, you know, boys club, yeah, they go off for a drink and then they make decisions, you know, in the bathroom, you know, when they're having their drinks. And
on
then
the golf course.
Exactly, right? But we have seen some social movement, right?
Sure.
So, for example, you know, the Me Too movement,
mm-hmm.
yeah, where women were coming out talking about harassment, you know, talking about bullying. So I think, you know, as a society, you know, the world that we live in now, there is very much less tolerance for behaviors that will be considered not acceptable. Just like my example, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, 20 years ago, I accepted it to say, okay, fine, you know, I change clothes, right? But now I'll say like, well, okay, if you don't like it, turn the other way.
Tough it out.
Exactly.
Don't like it, tough.
Right, yeah, that's right.
We are talking to Lynn Lee, Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion from Shell. Okay, now I actually came from a very, very boys club industry, which is shipping. My first job was in shipping, and the role that I had, I was actually told I was very lucky to have because I was a woman,
mm-hmm.
and that was I was a logistics planner for rather large-scale moves. I moved factories and stuff like that, and I was only one of four women in the region, including Australia, at the time who did what I did. And that meant that I would have clients who would say to me things like, if you want my deal, then you come and sit on my lap and whisper to me what you will do to seal the deal. Can you imagine that? I mean, that was less than 30 years ago, right? And I look back at it, I go, oh, the things I wanted to say to him.
Exactly. Yeah. And now perhaps you could, right? Yeah.
And now
just
I
pick
could.
Up the phone and say, remember what you said to me?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think right now that man would not have a job.
Yes.
And I think that's a fantastic move forward, both for men and women within professional organizations. Now, let's talk about Shell. The industry is one that we all know. We need what you provide, gas, oil, since the 1890s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does Shell move forward now with different considerations? Again, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking about evolution. You're talking about evolution of hiring and inclusion. How does Shell move forward from its core business now? Or, mm-hmm. I mean, energy is still something that we need.
Yes.
Is there an answer to that?
Well, Again, I think it's a challenge that goes beyond Shell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we are all transitioning to a lower carbon type of environment.
Sure.
And the biggest challenge for Shell as an energy company mm-hmm. Is to make sure that we live up to that challenge, yeah, that we have the best talent who will be innovating and really trying to resolve this challenge.
Sure.
For the organization and for the community. So what that means is that we are looking at talent, not just the men, you know, but the women. And we're also looking at organizations, as I said, you know, inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a lot in terms of ensuring as well that we focus on disability confidence.
Right.
Yeah. So focusing on ensuring that we are looking at different types of workforce and making sure that, you know, we impact communities as well. So I think, you know, your question around evolution of
mm-hmm.
energy,
mm-hmm.
It is not just one thing, right? We are targeting this around what community needs are, you know, what's our responsibility as a company,
sure.
What are the demands and expectations of us as a company, yeah, low carbon footprint, and how do we get there and engaging with the community for us to get there together?
You know, it's interesting to me because a lot of people I speak to from different industries, I've asked a similar question,
mm-hmm.
right? I speak to automotive companies quite often and I ask it of them from their perspective. And of course, they are trying to create a cleaner engine. They're trying to make sure their emissions levels are always lower. So it's an interesting challenge
mm-hmm.
because I don't think we have the answer yet. But the fact that we're trying to find it is already a move forward.
Yes,
for
exactly.
everyone.
Correct. And yeah, we'll find that, you know, companies are starting to work together.
Mm.
Yeah, because we know as well that it is not a challenge that we can resolve.
Individually.
As a single unit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is very closely linked together. Yeah, so we have to work together on this huge energy challenge that we've talked about.
Okay. We are talking to Lynn Lee, Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion at Shell. But let's step aside from your role as Vice President, Diversity, Inclusion and Shell and talk about other things. Let's get behind the curtain a little bit. I happen to know that you have a very deep passion and you have a very deep compassion towards Bhutan. Unpack that for us.
Ah, okay. Well, I had decided that I will do something different
mm-hmm.
about 4 years ago. So I was getting a bit, I was questioning myself in terms of, you know, what is it that I can challenge myself to do? So I decided to go trek on my own and I chose Bhutan. And what happened was I fell in love with the place.
There's a lot to love.
Yes. Well, I fell in love with the place because there were many things that spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
The place Bhutan is a small country with a big purpose, very much like Singapore.
Right.
Yeah, so I thought, wow, you know, that's something different, but something similar.
This is your consultancy head, you know?
Yes, I think so. I'm always comparing and contrasting, right? Yeah, then I thought, wow, you know, this is a place where they consider themselves to be happy and successful, but in a very different way.
Mm-hmm. You know, they define it differently,
else,
don't they?
Yes, exactly. I mean, everyone else talk about GDP, you talk about how much more money you have in your bank,
mm-hmm.
but they talk about gross national happiness. And I was thinking, I want to know more about that. Right? And then the last thing was I thought, wow, you know, for a country to actually commit to 60% of their country to continue to be forested, that is amazing. Yeah, just based on what we've just spoken about,
right.
Energy challenge, yeah, and they are carbon negative. So I think that intrigued me. That really intrigued me. And I thought, well, I want to go back. But I want to go back in a different capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, as with everything that I do, you know, I take some risks and I started a travel advisory.
In Bhutan. Definitely the consultant in you there.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, with the blessings of Shell, you know, because there's no conflict of interest.
Right.
But I started that just so that I could learn a lot more about the people.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to give back. Yeah, so it was about creating jobs. I deeply wanted to create an opportunity for people to connect. So that gave me a chance to bring people to Bhutan and see the place in the way that I saw. And it's not just, you know, people connecting, but it's people connecting to nature as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was really a deep experience for me, yeah, in terms of what I received from it,
mm-hmm.
and what I can contribute to it. Yeah,
right.
Very satisfying.
Good. Okay, I have had many conversations in researching this little segment that I'm doing this week for International Women's Week. And I found an interesting correlation. A lot of younger women say that senior women who rise in big organizations, they climb up that ladder and then they pull that ladder up behind them and do not give younger women opportunities that maybe they fought for so hard.
Mm.
I don't know whether I agree or disagree with that statement. It is coming from several women in their early 30s looking at maybe lady bosses or ladies in senior management in different industries. What are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting you say that. So I never thought of it that way, but I can empathize.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you're in your 30s, if I reflect from when I was in my 30s, that's the time when you're really figuring out your life.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably, if you are married, that's probably the time as well when you start to have a family,
mm-hmm.
and you start to think about your career. Yeah, so there's so many things happening in your life. And what you want is not just a role model, but you want support.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think what these young women say is that they probably don't have enough of mentors,
right,
and role models who
right.
can support them and help them.
Right.
Yeah, and when you only have that few, the resources are hard to go around, right?
Sure.
So I can empathize with, you know, what you've just said.
So is there more that we women can do for our younger colleagues?
Yes, definitely. Well, I think in Shell, as I mentioned, one of the reasons why we're so focused on gender equality and gender balance
mm-hmm.
is the fact that, well, I mean, we need all the best talents, the best brains. Yeah, so we're spending a lot of time as well, you know, supporting efforts for girls, you know, to get into STEM type of education, yeah,
sure.
science, technology, math, engineering. And what we see as well is that there are still not enough of these women. So we have mentoring programs.
Okay.
Yeah. We try to bring women mentors who already have succeeded to help and ensure that the younger females have an opportunity to experience. But it's not just the women as well. You know, we now ask for our male allies
mm-hmm.
to be helpful. So that's one. It's not just mentoring. I think, you know, sometimes policies, processes, infrastructure get in the way as well.
Sure.
Yeah. So in Shell, we have rolled out and implemented what we call minimum standards for maternity leave.
Mm-hmm.
So right across the world, we have 16 weeks. So in some countries, you know, that would not really be something. But in other countries, a minimum standard means something. But what we realize is that just by focusing on women, you know, you don't really eliminate the issues and challenges. Yeah, we have to focus on the family dynamics.
Sure.
So how about the men? How do we ensure that they can be supportive of
Give
women?
Give them maternity leave as well.
Yes, paternity leave. You're
yes,
right.
Right.
Exactly. You know, because we want to help to change the dynamics at home.
Mm-hmm.
And also then to emphasize things like flexible working.
Mm.
And flexible working is not just working from home.
Right.
Yeah, it would be allowing for people to perhaps job share, you know, not just the women, but the men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and ensuring that perhaps there are some days where, you know, you have to take care of family. It's not just the, you know, it's not just the child they have to take care of. You know, maybe you have elderly parents. So to ensure that there's balance for both the women and the men so that the women can succeed. Yeah. So the infrastructure as well is important.
Well, I can't say that anything that you've talked about, I have a problem with. In fact, I wholeheartedly support it.
Thank you, Clarissa.
Which means that in a year from now, I'm going to bring you back.
We're going
to
sure.
talk about how much you have succeeded in achieving some of these ideals, which are great, but I think also beyond great, absolutely necessary, mm-hmm. particularly in a country like Singapore when there is such a large percentage of the workforce is female.
Yes, and I'm sure I'll have success stories for you
a
year from now.
I look forward to it. So we shall make it a date. 1 year from now, we'll bring you back for International Women's Week next year.
Definitely.
And we'll do your report card.
Yes, of course.
Until then, I've been speaking to Lynn Lee, Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion from Shell, on this special edition of Coffee with Clarissa in tribute to International Women's Week. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us on Money FM 89.3.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.